Virtual Academy. Today we're going to be talking about getting Office 365 for your school. I'm with Michael Mullaney today, and Michael is Microsoft's Educational Technology Advisor. Thanks so much for joining us, Michael. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a bit about what you do at Microsoft?
Thank you, Megan. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. A huge thanks for inviting me to chat to you and the audience about this topic. It's an absolute pleasure and privilege to work in the education space. And as you said, I'm an Education Technology Advisor. So where I fit into the scenario with Microsoft is working with anything that's an academic institution to envision and roll out a modern teaching environment with the key focus on the technology staying out of the way. For the last 10 years of my life, I've been in systems and network administration. And in my spare time, I try to get outdoors as much as possible, but I still keep a very close eye on technology and the latest trends.
So Michael, you obviously know a lot about technology, but you really are excited about helping schools to use it to really transform education.
Yes.
So I used to be a teacher, and I don't know too much about technology at all. But what I see with the schools that we work with is that technology can really be an enabling factor in terms of transforming education. How do you think technology can help modernize education?
So schools in the past have been in a very similar and semi-dated way of teaching and learning. The teacher would stand at the front of the class and put as much up onto the blackboard as possible, and that was that. And the school environment was not too different from a court stenographer trying to jot down as much as possible and hopefully later on, as close as possible to exam time, absorb and understand the information. And by then it was too late, the notes didn't make sense, and it really hampered the learning experience. How technology can assist it is that we understand that learning and teaching is no longer limited to that class time. Teaching and learning is a 24/7 thing. You don't need to be in the classroom to necessarily go through that experience. And technology in a cloud-first, mobile-first approach is a massive contributor to the assisting of this process. And most importantly, it must aid the teaching process and not replace it, because technology certainly can't replace good teaching, but it can make good teachers even better.
For sure. So that traditional classroom that you were describing sounds a lot like the type of school I went to, and I'm sure you did too. And also my sort of university experiences and my initial experiences of being a teacher. But sometimes I almost wish I was back in the classroom to use some of the new tools that are out there that really help to make anywhere, anytime learning possible. And Office 365 is definitely one of those tools that can make learning possible anywhere at any time. Can you talk us through some of the key features of Office 365 and how it helps this anywhere, anytime learning to take place?
Absolutely. So Office 365 really speaks to the education space. People traditionally know Office as single device, desktop-based applications.
So your Word, PowerPoint, Excel.
Exactly. But as the world's becoming faster and more mobile, and how mobile devices are always present with us, the world follows us around at all the time. So Office 365 takes that traditional way of working, creating, and learning, and makes it available to you anywhere at any time. That's all Office 365 is. You are not necessarily locked down to your desk or your classroom or anything like that for a certain amount of hours. You should be able to do anything you want at any time, and that's where Office 365 comes into it. So the key features that speak to the academic space is to be able to create and share your own content on any device and be able to access it anywhere in the world at any time, both in an online and an offline space.
And some of the tools that would really help you to do that are things like OneNote and OneDrive. So maybe some of our viewers are already using OneDrive or OneNote, you know, themselves in their personal capacity. But Office 365 lets you take that even further. How does sort of Office 365 help sharing things between teachers and their students?
So in the past, if you were working on something, you would save it to a flash drive, and that's where the document existed. That's where your work and your creation existed. And if you had a project with a classmate or something, you had to share that flash drive with the classmate, maybe email it to one another, then there'd be multiple versions of it. You couldn't work on it at the same time. But with using Office 365 and OneNote and OneDrive, co-authoring and collaboration on your work is possible at any time.
And even a couple of people can work on the same document simultaneously.
Exactly. And it's a very good life skill to have, because when you go into the working world, you don't sit there on January 1st and get told, I need you to complete a task independently by December 31st. You're constantly working with multiple teams and multiple people. So instilling that life skill within the students, working with multiple teams and people at the same time, maybe in different geographic regions, is an important skill to learn in the school phase, so that when you go into the working world, you already have these essential life skills available to you.
Oh, absolutely. And those skills that you're talking about, collaborating, working together, working in the cloud, are skills that teachers can use using Office 365, and ones that students can use. Let's explore some of these tools in a bit more detail. So Office 365, we've already mentioned, comes with many of those sort of office tools that we all know and use. What are some of those?
So the traditional tools that people will be quite familiar with is Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. With that is an entire war chest that comes with Office 365 that complements the idea of anywhere, anytime learning.
So teachers that have already got PowerPoint presentations or tests and exams or worksheets that are in PowerPoint or that are in Word, would they be able to move those into their Office 365 account?
Yes, absolutely. There is an unbelievable wealth of information and content that our esteemed teachers throughout the various countries have created. There's no point in losing that content and having to start from scratch. So anything could be moved over, yes.
And with saving those documents in the cloud, it means that if you've been building up a repository of great lessons or great worksheets and tests over your entire teaching career, they won't all be lost if your laptop gets stolen or your hard drive crashes, because they'll be in the cloud, you know, where you can access them from anywhere at any time.
Yes, yeah, very important.
So those are some of the tools that I'm sure the audience will already know. But let's talk some more about some of the other tools that come with Office 365. So one of those is Outlook, which some people may already be using for their email. What makes Outlook as part of Office 365 such a great offering for schools?
So email is, at the end of the day, just email. But we've gone and made it a little bit more. More than just being able to send a mail to one another, by having an Outlook and an Exchange Online facility through Office 365, you get things like shared calendars and free busy calendars to see when an individual is available or not.
So if you're planning a departmental meeting, you can see you know, who of your colleagues will be free.
Exactly. You could do that. Another great implementation is to put things like tests and exam and term dates within a shared calendar. And those calendars synchronize with everyone's phones, and now everyone has the latest exam timetable on their phones, on mobile, on their laptops, live.
So that'll be great for teachers and students.
Mm.
And then when they get that email address, are you able to see that comes from a specific school?
Yes, I mean, we want to make sure that your identity, because your school identity and your school kind of corporate image and stuff like that is very important, and that does carry through to your email address. Each individual through Office 365 gets a 50 gigabytes inbox with archiving and journaling.
Wow, that's a lot of space. But it also, as you were mentioning, helps a school look more professional.
Yes.
If everyone has the same sort of domain name as part of their email address. So it would be, Megan Rademeyer at, Benoni High School or whatever the school has chosen. So that really sounds great. It also means that teachers can perhaps separate their personal and professional lives a bit.
Yes.
Use their personal email address for their own personal correspondence, but can use their work email address to help portray their professional image of the school.
Correct. Separating of those kind of things, as well as the ability to put people within specific groups. So you could group all the grade 10s together and send them an announcement, or group all the history students together, as an example.
Oh, wow, that sounds great. And it also then means you don't accidentally, miss anyone off.
Mm.
Or even, I'm thinking, not just of students, as you mentioned, but for groups of teachers, if they're the maths department or the languages department, could they also set up groups?
Yes, absolutely. You can have as many groups as you want.
Okay, that sounds great. So if a school was using Office 365, would they be able to access Skype?
Yes, absolutely. With Office 365 comes Skype for Business. So most people know Skype, but what Skype for Business does is it gives you access to everyone within your environment in an immediate state. So if we use our personal Skype accounts, we have to know one another's Skype name.
And you have to ask to be contacted
with
someone.
Yes, and to add each other. And whilst quite easy, Skype for Business makes it even easier because you're all within the same environment. And Skype's a very powerful tool. I mean, you can have free calls to one another, both audio and video. These are one-to-one. These are conference calling and Skype broadcasting, which is what we're using right now to distribute this lesson.
So I'm just trying to think of some advantages of Skype for Business for a school. I love Skype. I use it all the time. But if I was a teacher, I wouldn't want to be giving the children that I teach my Skype username, and I wouldn't want to be personal Skype contact with them so they can see if I'm online or offline and be bugging me at times when it doesn't suit me. But are you saying with Skype for Business, we'd automatically be able to Skype one another?
Yes, yeah, you'd all be connected and your status would be clear to everyone as well. If you're in a call, it says I'm in a call. If you're in a meeting, it says I'm in a meeting, so that you don't get bugged or pinged at inconvenient times.
Okay, that sounds great. So a teacher may even want to, leave their personal Skype on during the school holidays or in the evenings, but could turn their Skype for Business account off.
Yeah.
That really sounds great, and I also liked what you were saying about conference calls and free calls from Skype to Skype. Schools are always trying to economize and save money, and that's a really great way of being able to have a conference call for free.
Yes, exactly. And there's the only thing that you need is Skype for Business, which you already have. There's no excessive setup, anything like that. You are in your Skype account, you set up a conference, you can pre-send someone a conference link very easily through Outlook, and when the time comes, they just get an announcement, it's 3 p.m., it's time for that status update, let's join the conference.
So that sounds great, even for groups of students that maybe want to have like a study club, after hours, and for just the cost of a bit of data, would be able to join a conference call.
A study group, a professional learning community, absolutely.
Tell me a bit about Yammer. So we've talked about Skype for Business, but Yammer, if I understand it correctly, is Office 365's version of social media.
Mm. So social media is a very, very powerful tool, as we've seen. It's changed the world. Almost everyone's on social media now. And there's no reason that can't exist in a school environment. But schools are generally a bit apprehensive about it based on the fact that whatever's posted to social media is in a public forum and external individuals are able to interact and see what the school faculty and students are saying. So Yammer is a private social network just for that institution. It incorporates things that social media has, like @mentions, hashtags, the ability to post photos and videos. You can run polls and announcements. What would you like to see at the tuck shop? What would you like the year-end function to be? All those kind of things.
So what appeals to me is it gets it gives students an opportunity to try out some of those social media things, but in quite a protected environment. Mm. So it gives an opportunity for a teacher to say, you know, to have a teachable moment and to say, you know, that really wasn't an appropriate comment to put on Yammer, and the teacher could delete it or whatever. But that student isn't making that comment on Facebook or on Twitter, where it's really out there in the public domain.
Mm, mm. And it's really great for informal conversations, and that doesn't need to be just between students. It can be between the students and the teachers. For example, a geography teacher could say on the Geography Yammer site, "I saw this really funny parody of Oxbow Lakes. Check it out, made me laugh." That's not the kind of thing that you put in a formal announcement, but it's nice and casual, you know.
Okay, so it can be like a bit of fun, bit of fun too.
Yes.
And I really like the polls and the, you know, the hashtags and really, you know, trying to create a lively space.
Mm.
And also something that would work well with that anywhere, anytime learning idea. As somebody sees something, you know, they could share it with their Yammer group.
Yeah, let's say the geography teacher was talking about a very rare type of cloud formation. The student could then log onto the Yammer geography section, say, "Guys, hey, look, teacher said it was rare, but here it is." Everyone can like it, mention it, at mention the teacher, say, "You know, look, we've absorbed what you've seen, and we've seen it in the real world now."
And if you've got that Yammer app on your phone, the notification would come through.
Correct, yes, yeah. Replacing those rather cumbersome and semi-invasive WhatsApp groups that everyone tends to have.
Yes, I think we all are on too many WhatsApp groups with, you know, the endless sort of pinging and back and forth. But this helps you to keep your work or your school stuff on Yammer, where it's safe and secure, but still lets you have that back and forth dynamic. Okay, so Yammer's a great one, but one that I know lots of schools are using is OneDrive as a great place to store information. What for you are some of the key advantages of a school making use of OneDrive?
So at the moment, a school might have, say, a personal file section for everyone that has to be backed up and all that kind of stuff, and may not be accessible outside of the school's environment. With OneDrive, each individual gets 1 terabyte of storage space. That's not 1 terabyte for the entire school, it's 1 terabyte per person.
Okay.
And there's more than just it being used as a file repository. There's many different services you can use where you can just dump files into one central place. But OneDrive integrates perfectly with all the Office applications. So things like Word is very much aware of things that are saved within OneDrive. And then your files are always saving and always available and synchronized across all of your devices. Using something like OneDrive means that your work no longer exists on one single device. For example, you could use your school's lab to start your essay. Your time in the lab is out, or you need to go home. You jump onto the bus home, and you've got the remainder of your Word document waiting for you on your phone that you complete on your phone. It's all saved within OneDrive.
Wow, okay. So let's talk a bit more about the first point you were making about a great place to file documents.
Mm.
If there's one thing schools love, it's paper and files. And often, you know, teachers will have storerooms full of, you know, past exam papers or, you know, different worksheets that they've created over the years or whatever. You know, and they've got big lever arch files and all of this paper accumulating. In a school's office, they'll have archives of files of sort of past pupils. And the problem with all of that is, you know, those files can, you know, get damaged, get lost. But even if you are trying to find something, your chances of knowing exactly which file to look at in your storeroom or in your cupboard is pretty slim.
Yes.
But if your documents are saved in OneDrive, it's searchable and easy to find and easy to share. So you can set different permissions, not so.
Correct.
So different people can maybe have rights to just view some documents, whereas some people may have rights to edit other documents.
Correct, yeah. That point you mentioned about searchable is very, very important. The amount of teachers I've spoken to that have said they just have this, their room of dread, the filing cabinet. And what's in there, I don't know. With all their stuff being stored within OneDrive, simple, everything is available to you at the click of a button, start typing, and you've got all the documents that match that criteria to you.
And the point you were making about a child could start something at school and then they could finish it at home. Mm. What about a child that doesn't have internet connectivity at home? Would they still be able to do that?
Absolutely. So we understand that connectivity might be spotty in some areas. So all of your stuff in OneDrive exists both in the cloud and on your local device at the same time. If you are unable to get connectivity at the time, you're still able to access all of the files that are within your OneDrive synchronized to your device. You can chop and change, make edits, contributions, all that stuff. And as soon as you are connected again on Wi-Fi or 3G or anything like that, all your changes synchronize up to the cloud and replicate to all the devices that you have in your account.
Wow, so a child could synchronize all of their documents at school if school has Wi-Fi available before they leave for the day. They could finish their homework at home where there's no connectivity, and the next day when they're back at school, all of those changes will be automatically updated. Is that right?
Correct.
And we also know teenagers have a way of finding Wi-Fi, even if perhaps there's no internet at home. They could maybe get internet access at a library or at a fast food restaurant, or buy a little bit of data and make a hotspot with their phone. Mm. There are ways and means of accessing the internet, even for a short period of time, if you did want to synchronize at home.
Correct. I've worked with schools in the past where the administration staff had said, there's no data here, there's nothing, the entire area, there's no data. We've said, let's do a proof of concept. Let's get you Office 365, come. Show them the report a month later, massive uptake. And the principal or the head of academics says, but I thought there was no data. The children will sniff out data out of nowhere.
Oh, they will,
yes,
they will.
Yeah.
So we've talked a bit about OneDrive, but tell me some more about SharePoint, because SharePoint's a good way of sharing documents. That's why the name SharePoint.
Yes, yeah. So with OneDrive, that's quite great for personal or small collaborative kind of storage spaces. SharePoint's for a much bigger mindset. It's a great place for structured documentation. So some practical examples of that is setting up a portal for your school and general information such as admission slips, if you're going on a field trip and you need to sign something, keeping that there. That kind of information can reside within there. And that's public facing. You can also have private and locked off SharePoint team sites. So from an academic point of view, you could have a history SharePoint team site where it's just a repository for past exams, past tests, interesting videos that you might want the students to see, contributions by the students to keep all their stuff there for that specific subject. And there's nothing exciting about administration, but it does speak to the administration side of things as well. Registration documents, banking details, who's paid, who hasn't, that kind of information kept in a safe central place just for the administrative staff.
What I like about the safe central place idea is version control. If you've got things like your school's acceptable use policy for cell phones, or your code of conduct, or the criteria for being awarded school colors in different sporting codes, I'd imagine those sort of policy documents would sit well in SharePoint. And if they do get revised or updated from time to time, then the school could remove the previous version and could sort of upload the latest version to SharePoint.
Correct. And SharePoint's a very, very simple thing to use. It's essentially a web interface for document structured storage, with the ability to bring in other things like links to Facebook sites to make it look how you would ideally like it to look. So anyone thinking of using SharePoint, it's not a massive learning curve. It's the ability to have files in a structured format and have a web UI or a web page automatically build out a list of this file storage in categories and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so the trick is to come up with a good filing structure to begin with, and maybe some sort of standard naming conventions that you stick to. But once that's in place, it's as easy as perhaps sharing an album of photos on Facebook or the content exists in the cloud and different people can.
Correct,
sort of
yes.
See it.
Yeah, so for viewing and receiving of any kind of stuff that sits within SharePoint, great through the web interface. SharePoint is also driven by that OneDrive engine that we spoke about a little bit earlier, and that means that those documents and shared resources that are available within SharePoint can also synchronize to your device in an offline fashion. So if you have a giant Excel spreadsheet that the accounting team uses to track vendor information, that information can sit within the central SharePoint repository and be accessed both online and offline.
Okay, way better than each person having their own version on their own machine.
Correct.
So SharePoint is something we know schools that have got Office 365 are using and they're loving it. But one of these Office 365 apps that is new, or certainly was new to me, was Delve. Tell me a bit about Delve. What does Delve do?
The first time I saw Delve in action, it actually blew my mind. It was quite amazing. What Delve does is it removes the concept of searching and replaces it with discovering. What I mean by that is if you know what you're looking for, you can go into any form of SharePoint or online search engine and search for that concept. What happens if you don't know what you're looking for, but through advanced machine learning and AI, something was able to tell you, you might actually be looking for this. So a practical example of that is if you know you're looking for a specific history document, you can go search for it, sure. But what happens if one of the history substitute teachers has found an amazing summary article on the Second World War, and they upload that PowerPoint slide to the shared history T-point site and doesn't necessarily let the world know that that's there. Me, as a history student at the school, logging into Delve, machine learning would say, Michael, you study history. Someone who also is in the history environment has put something into a shared resource that you have access to. This might be of interest to you. Why don't you go take a look? So presents content to you through machine learning that it believes might be of interest to you. And I've never seen anything on Delve that was not of interest to me.
Wow.
Every time I log in, I see a coworker doing something amazing.
Okay, so you don't know what you don't know.
Mm.
And you're not going to look for something that you don't know is there.
Exactly.
So Delve figures out the types of things you're interested in based on the kinds of documents you access, the teams you're in, and points you in the right direction. So that would be worth trying out.
Mm.
So Michael, we've talked a lot about Office 365 and how it's a great tool for anywhere, anytime learning. And we've talked about some of the great tools that come with it, Skype for Business, OneDrive, Delve, Yammer. So maybe listeners out there are busy thinking, I don't have Office 365, but boy, now I want it. So let's talk a bit about how a school would go about accessing Office 365. Where should they look?
So the nice thing about Office 365 is you don't need to apply for it. It's already there waiting for you right now. If you're an academic institution, it's sitting there waiting for you. There's two paths you can go down, both fantastic routes to go. The one is you could go to office.com/education. And there, anyone within the school can enroll the school. That could be the principal, a teacher, or even a student could enroll the school within Office 365. They simply sign in with their school email address, and we automatically set everything up and let that individual know what they have, how to use it, and how to go about it.
And Office 365 for education is free?
Free for life.
Okay, so that's amazing. But I'm sure you must get people pretending to be a school to access this great free service, Office 365 for Education. Do you actually check that a school really is a school if they're applying for this?
So there's a huge list of pre-verified domains. I'm telling you right now, your school's domain is on that list.
Okay, so if a school's already got a website,
yes.
So they've got www.whoaschoollinden.com, that's a domain.
Yes, okay? Correct. And if there's the slight chance where they don't, there's a dedicated team that works around the clock to get these new applications, to just do a manual verification that this is an academic institution.
Because in fact, if a school is connected enough to want to go Office 365, they'd probably want a domain anyway and a website if they don't already have one.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so somebody applies, your team verifies that they really are a school and then helps them apply. There's the doing it online approach. But what if a school sort of feels they need a bit of support? Where can they get like a real person who will help them?
Sure, so that was that second path. That's also a fantastic one to go through. Most likely the school has what's called an authorized education partner or just a Microsoft partner. This is the person that generally assists you with any form of Microsoft licensing, and they'll be able to set you up on Office 365 for Education. And the nice thing is they'll be there with you to walk the journey with you.
And they could help with things like creating all of the teachers' email addresses and all of the learner email addresses.
Correct, yes. So in the first option where you go to the office.com/education, that's a self-sign-up, self-enrollment. But a lot of institutions want everything set up from the get-go. They want all the students and everyone in there from to begin with. And that's where the Microsoft partner will either be able to assist you by importing all of the school's faculty, staff, and students in one go, synchronizing it with your current student information system, or synchronizing it with your local Active Directory, and that allows you to have that same sign-on between your local environment and Office 365.
So I just want to check that I'm understanding this correctly. Learners or teachers at a school could manually each go and sign up one by one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's doable, but it's probably going to take quite a while if a school's got 500 or 1,000 students and lots of staff. But if they've already got their staff details and their student details on a database, they would be able to do a sort of bulk import.
Correct. And the nice thing is with these two various paths, you can cross over at any time. So if you are the school principal or the IT administrator and you've gone to office.com/education and signed up one account, you then have the option through the admin center to import or synchronize the remaining individuals.
Okay, and that's also something schools would have to do probably on an annual basis anyway, as some students leave the school and you know the next group arrives.
Correct.
So in summary, which apps come free with Office 365 for Education? There's a whole list, but what are some of the key ones that come free?
So if we were to go through everything that comes with Office 365 Education, we'd need hours and hours and hours.
Okay.
There's an unbelievable war chest that's available to you, and if you go to that Office website, they are all broken down. The key ones that speak to the academic space is the ability to communicate with all of your learners through things like Exchange and Outlook, to collaborate in the cloud using things like SharePoint, OneDrive, and to a degree OneNote. And there's also Office Online, which is your traditional Word, Excel, PowerPoint sitting in the cloud through a browser. Sky for Business, which is all the conference calling that we mentioned, that's included as well. And there's also tools that speak very heavily to the academic space, like Microsoft Forms, the ability to set up a kind of a Q&A and capture the answers. Sway, which is what I like to call PowerPoint on steroids. It's to create beautiful presentations very easily. And there's tons more that if you go through to that office.com education site, you'll see them all there.
So those are all the free ones. But that Word, PowerPoint, Excel is the online version.
Mm.
What if somebody wants the offline version of Office? Do you have a solution for that?
Yes, absolutely. So Office 365 Education is free for faculty and for students. However, we have the Student Advantage program, whereby as long as all of the faculty are licensed for office, the students get office for free as well. This office I'm referring to is the offline version of office. So that's Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote that exist on a physical device.
So that would be a great option for schools that have some connectivity, but maybe don't have great Wi-Fi in every classroom. So that would be perhaps a speedier way of doing things, and they could then sync those documents or sync those accounts every now and then, but could use the offline version in the meantime.
Correct. And with Office 365 Professional Plus, which is this offline version that we mentioned, if your school or institution already has Office licensing, for example, if you look around your school right now and you see someone using a PowerPoint or something, you're most likely already licensed for Office. So that additional concept of the student use benefit thing is already most likely sitting there waiting for you to use, gathering dust. I mean, if you go into the stores, this Office product can cost a certain amount, but it's completely free for all the students as long as all the faculty are licensed on it. And I'm telling you right now, I have not come across a school or institution that is not. So it's just sitting there gathering dust.
So schools should actually be vocal. They should speak to their authorized education reseller and should say, we're interested in Office 365. Can you help us sign up? Is there a way that we can access Office 365 Pro Plus based on the Microsoft licenses that we already have?
Correct.
And you're saying that the chances are good that schools would be able to access this out of their existing licensing?
In all my time in the education space, I'm yet to come across a single school where I've had to say, oh, there's additional licensing cost on this front.
And even if there is a cost involved, it's still going to be less than if they went to their local computer store and bought the box of
correct. Yeah, of academic
Microsoft
pricing
Office.
Is, yeah.
So do investigate that. That's really a top tip. So Office 365, lots of schools have a sort of bring your own device policy, and children arrive with all sorts of different makes of devices. Can Office 365 only work on a Windows device?
Not at all. As much as we would love for everyone to be using a Surface or a Microsoft device, people have all sorts of devices. They might have iPhones, they might have Android-based phones, they might have Macintoshes, and they might even have Linux-based machines. Office 365 works across all of these things. If you've got an iOS phone or an iPad or an Android phone, you can get all the apps. If you have a Windows or Mac-based laptop or desktop, you can get the apps, the online thing. And if you're on a device that doesn't fit these criteria, such as, say, Linux, you can access Office Online through the portal.office.com browser. The full Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote experience exists through the browser.
So if you went to the Android store, or the iStore, or the Windows store, chances are be able to get the app for your device. And if you can't access the app, you can access it through the browser.
And remember, you have 15 copies of the app per person, because people don't really have one device anymore. For example, I have...
I don't know that too many people have 15 devices.
Yeah. To give you an example, I have a work laptop, I have a home laptop, I have a home desktop, and I have a home, a personal mobile phone. I can't just be limited to having Word, Excel, PowerPoint on just one of those. So I'm able to get 5 for my phone, 5 for my tablets, and 5 for PC or Mac.
But I think where this would be a huge advantage to teachers teaching in a bring your own device environment is it means you don't have to then worry about, oh, the children that don't have iPads won't be able to access this type of a document, or I'd better save this in another format for the children that have gone the Android route. For this, no matter what device they're using, the teacher only has to worry about providing content or doing prep using those Word, PowerPoint, Excel documents that all teachers know anyway, and the children will be able to access them.
Correct. A Word document sitting on your Windows-based PC is the same Word document that can exist on a student's mobile Android phone.
So we've already answered my next question about can you use your school license on your personal device? So that would be fine. If a student has access to Office Pro Plus through their school, would they be able to load that on a laptop that they use at home?
Yes, absolutely. Because, I mean, not all schools decide to go down the route of providing school-sponsored or school fees-subsidized devices. They might say, bring your own device. You might have devices at home. So absolutely, it's the individual who is licensed to use Office, not necessarily the device.
Okay. You know. Okay, so a child who's using Word, PowerPoint, Excel at school could carry on using their family computer at home using their school license.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a good deal to me. Mm. But what happens when someone leaves school? If they have access to all of this great stuff when they're at a school that signed up for Office 365, at some point they're going to graduate or matriculate. What happens then?
So the journey with Office 365 doesn't end when the student graduates. What happens then is that the individual, congratulations, you've graduated, and now you're part of our alumni. As part of alumni, you get to keep your school email address, that 50 gigs inbox with archiving and journaling that was mentioned, as well as access to Office Online, so your Word and Excel, PowerPoint and OneNote through the browser. That alumni thing is very important to keep up to date with your past students and allow them to keep in touch with them.
It's great to keep a community going,
exactly,
the class of whatever at a certain school. So that sounds great. But just to clarify, they get access to the online versions of Office, but not the Pro Plus.
Correct, yes.
Okay. But still, the online versions are great too, and definitely something that would otherwise cost them money, but they have access to them just by virtue of having come from an Office 365 school.
Log into any browser, go to their account, there's all their alumni and existing email waiting for them, as well as Office Online that they can use 24/7.
So, Michael, we've covered a lot of ground. We've looked at what some of the tools are that are available through Office 365, and we've spent quite a bit of time talking about how schools can access it. Can you just give us that website once more?
Sure. So it's office.com/education, and that's where any individual can enroll your school within Office 365 for completely free. Your students can do it, you can do it, the principal can do it, anyone can. Alternatively, there is the Microsoft partner that you can go through, but I'd strongly suggest going and checking out office.com/education. There's more there than just the ability to sign up. There's resources, breakdowns, and deep dives into each of the individual products, case studies on other schools and entire school districts that have gone through this process of moving to Office. For the more technical inclined, there's technical documentation of how do I migrate from a previous system to Office 365. There's tons of stuff there, focusing specifically on the academic space.
So you've heard all about Office 365 from me and from Michael, but it's always exciting to hear from a teacher who's actually used the tool. Joining us today is Charmaine Roynan from Somerset House Prep School, which is a Microsoft school. You've deployed Office 365, Charmaine. Can you tell us a bit about it and how it's been working for your school? Using Microsoft Office, I'm sure, Word, PowerPoint, Excel, but it sounds to me like you had another solution for your email. How difficult was it to move from one email system to another. You know, was that simple to do? Did you have to change your email addresses?
Okay, we didn't have to change our email addresses. What happened was over a weekend, the email boxes were migrated onto the cloud, and we decided, because we're a small school, that we would export the existing emails on the teachers' computers into a CSV and then import them back. That has worked very well for us, and we haven't had any glitches. The teachers are absolutely thrilled that they can go onto Microsoft Online, log in, pick up the email, work on their documents. It just works for them.
And do you find teachers are accessing their Office 365 accounts from home, outside of school, or are they mainly using it at school?
I think a lot of them are using it at home, especially to pick up the email and to sync documents that they've been working on. And it's actually been interesting, because we've had a ransomware attack that now everything is on the cloud and they can work online. It will sync offline on their laptops. That works for them.
And is a teacher also able to access their Office 365 stuff from their cell phones?
From their cell phones, from their tablets, from their devices at home. All our teachers have laptops, so they can. All the apps have been downloaded. The offline apps have been downloaded onto their laptops, and the children are working online, which suits them fine, because then they can go home and work on their documents and they're not going to lose their documents. So it's working well for us, because the whole 2016 experience with the Office tools is so powerful.
So Charmaine, you teach at a prep school, a primary school. Do your students each bring their own device to school, or do they have devices at school that they can use? Or do they just work on their family device when they get home? How does it work at your school?
Okay, so at our school, our grade sixes and sevens, we have a BYOD with them, and they are allowed to bring whatever device which suits them, whether it's an iPad or laptop. 95% of the kids bring laptops, because tablets are not authoring tools, and we're a project-based school. So they do a lot of research, they do a lot of projects, and they need to be able to use their device as an authoring tool. We have a bank of Android tablets, which is available for use from grade R to grade 5. They are collected, they're booked out, and they do all sorts of things like research. They go onto interactive websites. I set up lessons for them on the web portal that I have for the tablets. And then we also have a computer room that the kids visit from grade 1 to grade 5. They have lessons every week. The grade 6s and 7s don't have lessons. If they need a brush or anything, I do it on their devices.
So it sounds like you've got a range of devices. Your Android tablets, children bringing their own laptops of different makes, some working on iPads, some using the school's devices. But Office 365 works across all of them.
Absolutely. That's why we make that great.
Okay. And especially in a bring your own device setup, at least the teacher's able to set a lesson or a project activity and doesn't have to worry about, will this sort of format be accessible on everyone's device? It takes that worry away.
Absolutely. So we're very excited to know that Microsoft Classroom has been launched. So we're going to be moving over to Microsoft Classroom and using OneNote as a platform for delivering those projects.
So I think Microsoft Classroom is going to make your experience even better than it already is, because you'll be able to do all of those great project-based learning activities that you're already doing with less sort of admin from the teacher's side, because that Microsoft Classroom interface just makes it so easy to share activities and for students to access them.
Absolutely. And the OneNote platform is just a user-friendly. It works well. You can set up a project. You can set different sections for your project. It just works well. You can share. You can add stuff if you've got more resources to add or whatever. You can go to the resources tab and upload note, if it's something for flipped classroom or project or rubric or whatever, then the kids can send it back to you. So the OneNote is a brilliant platform, and we haven't been using it now because Microsoft Classroom, you know, we wanted to work within Microsoft Classroom so we didn't confuse teachers and kids in terms of lots of different platforms. So OneNote for us works in Microsoft Classroom, and they're going to use it from that. So hopefully I'm going to be involved with the training for that next year.
That OneNote class notebook app is phenomenal, and I'm sure that Microsoft Classroom will make that experience even better for schools. I know that I love OneNote for myself, and I'm sure it's a great tool for students to get familiar with, not just because it works so well at school, but also as a tool that they can use in their tertiary studies or in the workplace, just as a great way of storing information and sharing and collaborating.
And making notes and reminding themselves to do what, or sending a message to the teacher, it just works for us.
For sure. So Charmaine, in chatting to you, you sound like you're quite a technical whiz. But you know, what would your advice be to a school that maybe doesn't have somebody like you at their school? Who should they be approaching for some help?
I think first of all they need to identify an IT champion within their school, and then approaching. I've had a brilliant experience with Microsoft because I've met you and worked with Angela and Damien and all Michael and all the people and Elsie, all the people who give the support. I think it needs to be explained to them that the Office 365 is not the old Microsoft expensive route of the past. So it wasn't a case of, it's no longer a case of licensing per device, and then you get this email saying that you haven't licensed all your devices or your license has expired or whatever. For us, it's been a seamless, easy experience as a private school. We've bought faculty licenses. All of our students are now able to work online and offline if should they wish to. The experience is easier and the support has been great. And the support for me is the most important. And we've got people like Michael and Elsie here in the Western Cape that I can send an email and please let me know what's going on or whatever in my busy day. That's what works for me, and the whole interface works for me.
So a school that's perhaps chosen something else other than Office 365 doesn't have to feel that they're locked into that choice. Your school is an example of a school that's switched over to Office 365, and you've been able to get support and you've made the transition in a fairly pain-free way.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with the other platform. It's just that with the Office 365 apps are powerful. You've got Office Mix and Sway and Classroom and OneNote. It's for me, it's a better option. I'm going now into IT consulting and training teachers. It's a familiar interface for teachers. Teachers are busy people, and they need to have a familiar interface. And if they can open up a PowerPoint or Word document, other than another app which they're not familiar with, it just makes it so much easier. They feel more comfortable.
For sure. So Charmaine, that's the you know, the end of the interview. Thank you so much for your time and for being part of it and for telling us about your experiences at a Microsoft school, Somerset House Prep School. You know, you've done phenomenal work there as a teacher, as somebody training your colleagues, somebody who's administering a system. And even if you are no longer at Somerset House, I'm sure Somerset House will continue to use Office 365 and the skills and the groundwork that you've helped to develop there. And it's great that you're taking those skills to other schools. So thanks for your time today, Charmaine, and for telling us about your experiences.
Thank you. Okay. And thanks, Michael and
Elsie. Okay. Thanks, Charmaine. Bye. Bye. Viewers, do check it out, and if your school hasn't already signed up, Do consider it and investigate it. If your school is already an Office 365 school and you learnt about some new tools today that you haven't tried out yet, give Yammer a go. Look at Delve, make use of your SharePoint so that you're maximizing your Office 365. Join us for the next webinar. Thanks for being with us today. Goodbye.